The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. We're reading the first 11 verses. Matthew chapter 21. We're reading the first 11 verses. Today's message is titled Lessons from the Triumphant Entry. Matthew 21 from verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Verse 4. All this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before, that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when they had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Verse 11. And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Say amen to the reading of the word. I'm preaching on the topic, Lessons from the Triumphant Entry. Lessons from the Triumphant Entry. Up until now, Jesus did not like to be greatly introduced. Apart from the major introduction that we saw of John the Baptist and the annunciation to his mother by the angel, Jesus did not like to project himself, and there were many occasions that he would heal the sick and caution them not to tell anybody, because he didn't want that kind of patronage where people would gather just because of his popularity. He kept his popularity at low profile, and he projected his father, whom he represented, on this earth. The text that we read tells us of another phase of Jesus' life, where this time he would allow himself to be introduced the way heaven will want it. But before I go into that, I want us to realize that the text we read was the week preceding the crucifixion of Jesus. Again, it was at this event, or this event coincided with the Jewish Passover festival. You remember the Jewish Passover festival, or the Passover celebrations, were held to remember the time of the Exodus. After having been in slavery for over 3 centuries, God was now setting Israel free. But before the freedom came, it was characterized by some significant events, one of which was the Passover. God had anointed Moses and sent him as a deliverer to Egypt to speak to the Pharaoh of the time. The message was simple: let my people go, that they may save me. But Pharaoh would not allow Israel to go because he had benefited from their servitude of slavery. So it was a difficult thing, and from one stage to the other, Moses had to employ the power of God to bring Pharaoh virtually to his knees. The final event was the Passover. And if you study from Exodus chapter 12 from verse 37, it will tell you that over 600,000 people were getting ready to move out of Egypt into the wilderness and toward the promised land. 600,000 people, a very huge number. And God requested that each Israelite family must have a male-year-old lamb without blemish slaughtered, its blood collected, so that they would dip into the blood hyssop and then sprinkle their doorpost with the blood of the lamb. That night, God was to pass through the land of Egypt with judgment, and male firstborns in the homes of the Egyptians were to die. This even affected animals. But God wanted to exempt his people from such judgment. So he told them exactly what to do and said, as many as honor my word, when the angel of death passes through the land bringing judgment, the household of the Israelites shall be exempted. And God specifically stated that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, are you hearing me? In the place of that blood is the blood of Jesus. And for any condemnation or judgment that is going through the land, God says when he sees the superior blood of Jesus Christ, he will let destruction pass over you. He will let judgment pass over you. He will let condemnation pass over you. And he will let curses pass over you. Shout a better amen, somebody. So Israel were delivered, and following that, the Red Sea was open and they got to the other side. Miriam and Moses and co celebrated with tremendous praises. And God was later to institute this kind of ceremony as a part of the festivals that Israel had to annually engage in. So it was around the Lord's Passover when Jesus decided to enter Jerusalem. I believe Jesus chose this occasion because hundreds of thousands of people would return. They would return
from regions which were under the Roman control, and they will come back to Jerusalem, their city of worship, to give worship to the Most High God. So it's just like in Accra or in any part of Ghana, there are festivals, and during the festivals, people return from places where they have gone to work or where they are living, so that they will come and reunite with family and have a good celebration. So somehow God chose this event because it was a big event, and hundreds of thousands of people were coming in from all over, where the Roman world had reached. So this Passover celebration was a very significant one, and it was pointing to the death of Jesus Christ, whose blood will now be accepted in the stead of what was accepted in the wilderness. So I'm going to make some observations from the text. Where the first thing, that is number one, that you have to take notice of, is that Jesus chose this occasion to announce his messianic royalty. A messiah means savior. Royalty is something that has to do with kingship. So messianic royalty means savior and king. Jesus was held as the king of the Jews. As a matter of fact, of the king of the whole world. But God brought him that he might make that sacrifice to that community, and following the acceptance, it will become a universal thing. At this time, because the Jews were under Roman control and Roman authority, the Jews were expecting that this Messiah that will come, this king who would come like a military leader and will spearhead a major military revolution in overthrowing the Roman kingdom to establish a Jewish kingdom. So the Jews had their own perception. They had their own expectations. Although God has spoken that he will give them a deliverer, he will give them a Messiah, they had formed their own opinions. I want you to know, when you are relating to God, relate to him like he has said to you. Don't form your own opinions. Otherwise, you could be disappointed. Otherwise, you'll be expecting what he hasn't told you to expect. Otherwise, you'll be waiting for what he hasn't told you to wait for. So when God speaks to you, accept his word and wait for the answer to come. Whether he would do it on a Monday or a Tuesday, on a Friday or Wednesday, it is his business to do. Whether he will send an angel, he will send a prophet, or he will appear from nowhere, it is his business to do. Believe the word, but leave the rest of the interpretation for the Most High God. Somebody put your hands together. Normally, people who get disappointed are people who have their own preconceived ideas. They have created an avenue and they are forcing God inside. But God is bigger than the avenue you are creating. So allow God himself to run and control your life and the avenue as well. So the mistake that the Jewish people did was to expect a military revolutionary, just like in the French Revolution or any other revolution, where one group of persons who were discontent with the monarchy, the kings of the time, decided to rebel and to fight against them. So the first thing we observe in this text is that Jesus chose this occasion to announce himself as the messianic royal, to show that he was savior cum king, and that he had hid it all the time for the past 33 years while on earth, but now was the occasion to manifest it and to show it forth. I wish to prophesy into your life that some events may have passed, but another event is coming which God will choose to honor you greatly. You anticipated that you'd be honored in the previous one, but he will honor you in his own time and at the right time. And he will make a glorious public show. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. He will do it in such a way that even people who don't like you and they are far off will hear about it. And they will send you sincere messages of congratulation. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. They were laughing on one side of their mouth, but God will force them to laugh on the wrong side of their mouth. They thought they had the last laugh, but God prepared the last for you, the best. Oh, somebody must be shouting amen. So do not worry about how things have gone. There is still an occasion which God will choose. And on that occasion, in the sight of all men, he will manifest you. And he will cause your glory to be demonstrated and to show on that occasion. The second thing that we take notice of is that Jesus came in as a peaceable or peaceful and gentle king. Jesus came in as a peaceful and a very gentle king. Jesus could have chosen the radical revolutionary method of getting people lined up in tribunals and getting people to the firing squad to deal with them. He could have dealt ruthlessly with the people that was oppressing the Jews. But when Jesus came, he chose a peaceful method. Oh, come on, somebody shout amen. He chose to be gentle as well, to give opportunity to everyone who needed to repent, to repent. And also to establish the fact that the kind of salvation that he brought was not just physical, but it was spiritual, which was greater than the physical. So Jesus' coming was a coming of shalom. So the Bible called him the Prince of Peace, that in a world where there is chaos, where there is confusion, and families are getting scattered, and brothers are rising against brothers, and sisters against sisters, and nation against nation, Jesus came in to be the object of our peace. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Because without peace, there can be no prosperity. I pray for peace in your life. And I also pray for peace in your family. I pray for peace in your community. Because if one nation attacks the other and starts, you know, shelling against them, nothing, nobody can plan anything. Nobody can dwell in a house. But God brought us a Messiah who came as a peaceful person. Can I hear an amen? Amen. This nature of Christ, we must actually borrow and desire to develop and desire to increase in our lives. There are some situations where you might feel that going in to create a route may be the best solution. But sometimes God knows the aftermath after that. And the way of peace will always end in peace. The Bible says, if you want to determine whom an upright man is, look at his end. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. If you want to know whom a perfect man is, look at his end. His end is peace. May your marriage continue in peace. May your business continue in peace. Can I prophesy more? May your investments continue in peace. May you work and retire in that job at an old age in peace. May you live even in your old age in peace. So Jesus was very gentle. He could have said one word and the Roman kingdom would have been finished. But it took his time and came with peace. Number three, this triumphant entrance into Jerusalem was to manifest Jesus's humility. It was to manifest Jesus's humility. The great kings of the time had horses or chariots that were driven by horses. And the number of chariots you had and the number of horses you had showed your might and power. But when Jesus came and was making that entrance, he chose none of that. He went to choose an ass together with a young ass. That is the colt. And he told his disciples, go into the nearby village. You will find an ass and a young one tied onto a pole. Begin to untie it. And should the owner ask you where you are taking it, tell the owner, the master has need of it. I want you to know there are some miracles that must come to you. Oh, do I have witnesses here? There are some breakthroughs that must reach you today. But they are tied to a certain pole. But God will send an angel over there. And they will untie the breakthrough. And if anybody would ask the angels, why are you untying it? They will say that leave us alone, for the master's child has need of it. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. May your miracles be untied. May your breakthroughs be on time. I'm prophesying now. May your blessings be on time. May your financial breakthroughs be on time. Your matrimonial blessings, may they be on time. May your children be on time. By the power of the Most High God. And may the souls for the kingdom of God be on time. Shout amen. Put your hands together. There are things which are ordained from heaven for you. And within this season, you will have a harvest of them. So Jesus did not ride upon a horse, but he rather rode upon an ass together with a colt, which was a sign of humility. The word humility from the original is from the word humus. And humus means soil. The Bible says be lowly. Be lowly minded. It doesn't say be a doormat. But it's saying that put yourself in a disposition in such a way that you will please God. The Bible says in Philippians 2:6 that although Christ was God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation and became a servant and humbled himself to death on the cross for you and I. What the scripture is saying is that Jesus could have come to this world with pomp and pageantry, with brass band music. Oh, you're not hearing me. With the blowing of trumpets and a whole lot of excitement. But he chose to come in a very humble way, born into a manger in an obscure place and not celebrated by many until he grew up. And then he started his ministry. He also did not insist on that status with God as his right, that I am the Messiah King and I want everybody to fall down before me. But Jesus did not choose that, although he was equal with God. In other words, our lesson is, no matter how high God lifts you, he wants you to take the nature of a servant. Like Christ could pick a towel around his waist and wash the feet of his disciples, God wants you to serve one another. So that in the service, he'll be pleased with your humility. And he will raise you to higher heights. Oh, somebody say amen to God's glory. In humility, you have meekness. And again, you have gentleness. A meek person does not pay evil for evil. A meek person does not revenge when they are hurt. A meek person learns to be quiet and takes the matter before God. The meek person may not even curse, but God will arise on the person's behalf. Because you have chosen not to speak, God will be your spokesperson. Because you have chosen not to fight, God will fight for you. Because you have chosen not to take the situation into your hands, God will take it into his hands. And at the end of the day, he will deliver victory that will blow your imagination. Can I hear an amen? May God deliver your victory to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Humility is such an invaluable thing before God. The Bible says, God resisted the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The fourth thing that you notice is that this was an occasion where God chose to manifest Jesus' glory. We said number one, this occasion was chosen to announce the messianic royalty of Christ. Number two, this was an occasion where Jesus chose entrance into Jerusalem peacefully and gently as a king. And three, that Jesus, with this entrance, was a demonstration of his humility and not like the other kings in the world. And number four, this was an occasion to manifest the glory of Jesus. You would notice that when the ass and the colt were brought, people removed their clothing, their coats, their garments, and first of all, they laid it upon these animals so that Jesus would sit upon like a saddle and the riding breeches of a, what do you call them? The horse rider. The jockey. Like the riding breeches of the jockey. Then the second set of things they did was they spread their cloth in the way. They spread their cloth in the way for the donkey to walk over, the donkey on which Christ was seated. So Jesus riding through, the whole thing became colorful. The whole thing became beautiful. The whole thing became such an honor, because if big men and small men in the city could remove the attires that they treasured, and you know those people in the east, their attires are different from ours. They wear the huya. So if they would remove such garments, whether they were two-piece or three-piece or whatever, and lay them before Christ, it was one of the highest honors that a man can do to another man. This time Jesus didn't resist it, because the real king in him was to be shown forth. And that after this was going to be the resurrection, after this was going to be the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection and the ascension into heaven. So God allowed Christ to be glorified. Can I suggest to you, in the power of the Holy Ghost, that there is a day of honor for you. There is a day of coronation for you. I said there is a day of celebration for you. I want you to open, yours is just to open your mouth and shout amen. It shouldn't be too difficult for you. Every student knows there's a day of graduation. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And any courtship worth its salt knows there's a day of wedding. I said there's a day of manifestation. There is a day of glorification for you. And there's a day that God will showcase you to the whole world. That time has come, and now is the time. Receive the grace of God to walk at that high level to the glory of God. Shout amen. Number five, by the time they met Jesus, entrance of Jerusalem, they had palm branches. And they were waving the palm branches. In those days, the palm branches symbolized a few things. Number one, they were waved to kings. But it also represented victory and triumph. So that's why that entrance has been described as the triumphant entry into Jerusalem because of the waving of the palm branches. That waving of the branches was a prophetic declaration that although there were battles ahead, yet Christ will come out victorious. Can I hear an amen? And after the victory, he was celebrated in a triumphant grand style. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees may have resisted him. The scribes may have fought him. The general populace of Israel may have denied him what he was deserving of. But God has decided that the hour has come, and now is the hour that the palm branches that represented victory and triumph should be manifested and raised to the kingship of Christ. Oh, let me hear your amen. Today I see God's palm branches over your life. Oh, can I prophesy again? I see the palm branch of Jehovah hanging over your life. I see God placing one in your hands. And I see you waving it as a symbol of your victory and as a symbol of your celebration. Wave your hand to God. Whatever you get, wave it to God. Don't stop waving. It is your sign of victory. If you wave once, you get only one victory. You wave two, you get two victories. Keep waving in multiple times, uncountable times. I see victory coming to everyone listening to me today. By the grace of God, take your victory now. Oh, let the defeat be a thing of the past. Let the defeat be nipped in the bud. Let the defeat be overpowered and subdued by the finger of God. You have victory over sin. You have victory over death. You have victory over curses. You have victory over poverty. You have victory over disappointment. You have victory over failure. You have victory over premature death. You have victory. Let me hear a victorious people clap. And let me hear them shout. Let your shout resonate and echo half a mile away. This shall be your sign of victory. Put your hands together. Shout. Hey, the brother there, tell him to leave his phone alone. Tell the brother there to clap. Tell him to clap and shout. Because we are in church. Put down your phone and shout and clap to God's glory. Come on. I command the stirrings of the power of God. The resurrection power of God. I command doors that should have been open, that were closed. I command them open to you. I command the doors of opportunity to rise to higher heights. I command them open to you. May God lift you and place you on a higher pedestal. By the time you walk into the interview, may they declare that you are more than victorious. By the time you write that exam, May you be declared as the winner, as the overcomer. May your business succeed even where others are failing. May your marriage prevail and flourish where other marriages are failing. I bless your health with victory over sickness and disease. I bless your household. I bless you. May you have victory over accidents and demonic incidents. Let the power of God work. One area that I see God is bringing victory to some people who are listening to me, is victory over shame. The Bible says sin brings reproach, and reproach simply talks about shame, and shame makes you bow down your head, and shame steals your confidence, and shame does not make you believe God enough, because you get to a place where you are looking at your life in a negative manner. But I see in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 3 verse 3, that God is your glory. I say God is your glory. I say God is your glory. And the lifter up of your head. May your head be lifted up from shame and disgrace in the name of Jesus Christ. One time, a king of the Moabites died, and in his stead, his son, by name Hanun, came to the throne. And David decided to send some of his emissaries, some of his ambassadors, to congratulate King Hanun and to wish him the best in this new endeavor, and to reassure him that they will stand with him like his father was with them. But when these men of David arrived in this Moabite territory, they suspected them to be spies. So they arrested them. And in those days, a person's hair, particularly the women, was their glory. So you dare not shave the hair. For the men, it was their beard. So they grew long, rich beards. My wife forced me to shave my beard when we got married. But the Lord will restore it. Now, the Moabite men were instructed by their new king to shave half the beard. I mean, if you went to the barber and he cut half your hair and trimmed only half your hair and left the other, I mean, you look like a caricature, like a kakamutubi. In addition to that, the Bible says they cut the midsection of their attires. That means they cut the frontage. Oh, if your attire is cut, then you are in trouble. Then in addition to that, they cut the hindside. Hey! So when these people were living there, they were living in shame and couldn't come back to the congregation of Israel. But they were instructed by David to stay somewhere in the wilderness until their beards grew back. and new clothes were given to them. Today, I have good news for you. Whatever got your hair shaving off, I stand there as a servant of God. Like Samson's hair was shaving off, the hair started growing again. I command that which shaved your hair with evil, let that thing be arrested. Let that evil be overpowered. Let that power be subdued and never return to you again. But may your hair begin to grow, that your strength will come back. Your strength is coming back. Your hair is beginning to grow. I pray your hair will grow faster in a short period of time. May your glory be restored. I said, may your glory be restored. That where there was shame, there shall be beauty. There shall be beauty for ashes. In the name of Jesus Christ, may your beard grow again. Whether you are a man or woman, I am figuratively speaking. May your beard grow again. May your beard grow again. Figuratively, I say your beard is growing with beauty and honor by the power of God in the name of Jesus. May your garment be changed. I see your garment getting changed. Oh, that garment that was tattered, that garment that was pierced by the devil and torn by circumstances, that will be a reproach and a laughing stock by the Spirit of Almighty God. I declare today, receive glory in the place of shame. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, you shall receive double for your shame. You are not listening to the word. I say you are not listening to the word. I say you are not listening to the word. I say the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that for your shame you will receive double. And it goes on to say, for your frustrations, you will receive a heritage. In other words, for your troubles, you will receive a heritage. May you inherit what belongs to you. May the devil be dispossessed by what he has taken from you. In the name of Jesus Christ, double for your troubles, heritage for your frustrations. Oh, I like the way you are clapping, acknowledging God, boosting your faith, and opening a door of supernatural visitation into your life, into your life. You will not be the same like some people think. You'll be transformed. You'll be changed from one glory to the other. What they are seeing of you now, they haven't seen anything. If they cannot stand this, they will go and hide their faces, because God is about to lift you up and bless you and prosper you and increase you and enlarge your coast and territory. If they cannot stand your blessing now, they are in trouble. The Bible says that I will give you joy. And I will give you everlasting joy. The kind of joy God will give you will start from this world. And when Christ comes, it will continue into the next world. Receive everlasting joy. Are you getting the revelation? Receive everlasting joy. F- for your troubles, for your shame, receive double. For your troubles, receive a heritage. Some of you, I see you have an inheritance. You have an inheritance in Christ. You have an inheritance in this life and in the life to come. Take your inheritance. Take your inheritance. The Bible says children are an inheritance from the Lord. It's an inheritance. May you take your breakthrough. Put your hands on your right hand. Put your hand on your chest and say, I have an inheritance. I have a big inheritance to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, put your hands together and shout glory. May the Lord bless you, sir. May the anointing of God fall upon you. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. And after the endurance of the cross, he despised the shame. Can I tell you something? You borrowed yesterday before you had a meal. But now you have much more than a meal. And have much more than money. You are going to be so blessed that you will move into places where the needy and the marginalized are. And you're going to share with them your blessing because you have been through that before. Is somebody hearing me? Today your landlord may displace you, but God is going to give you a permanent home. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Yesterday, you had to struggle with others for public means of transportation. If that's okay with you, and periodically you may use it, I have no problem. But it is nice to have yours and to park it in your garage. Receive you your breakthrough. Receive you another one if you have one already. May you have health as a heritage. Gift of health. Walking in health. Your health not failing. Your health improving. And you excelling in strength and power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Shout amen. Put your hands together, son. I like the way somebody is responding there. Let me hear you over there too. Number 5. So the story that I told you about Hunan is in 2 Samuel 10. You can read it later. And I want you to know that one time after Israel had left Egypt, they forgot to observe the covenant of the covenant by cutting off the flesh of the foreskin. So they did not do it for a generation. They were not circumcised. That's the word. Then one day, God spoke to Joshua. And the Bible says Joshua took sharp knives. And they started circumcising the people of Israel. Then God appeared and spoke. This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off your life. God has sent me to announce to you this day, in the name of Jesus Christ, has Jehovah rolled away, rolled away, rolled away your reproach, your shame of being harassed and pursued by the creditors, your shame of being jilted and rejected, your shame of being sacked from a job when you thought you should have been there. May God take away the shame. The shame of your widowhood. May God take away the shame. The shame of your sickness and disease, and strengthen you and restore you by His Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. See the shame rolling away. I command the shame to roll away. I rebuke the shame. I command the shame to leave you. Live your life now. I thought you would have shouted louder and clap, because the thing that is worrying you, last Wednesday I was speaking about how when we used to come to church, lived in the neighborhood, and during the rainy season, the ground that was not tarred in front of the house was very soggy and muddy. And whenever we left in that season, you would find that there had been a heavy downpour through the night, and it was still drizzling. And we had three children. Mommy will carry one, and I'll try to carry the other, but the other person must walk and not happy about walking. Some people will come and stand in their porch, and that overlooks the street, and watch us. Our clothes were being counted. We walking in the mud was being looked at, but the Lord will move. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, I said, this day have I rolled away the reproach. One day they were there. By the time they realized, God has given mommy and I two cars into them. Oh, you are not getting what I'm saying. You are not getting what I'm saying. Our looks changed. So endure that for now. But something is changing in your life. If you agree with me, let your amen be very vociferous. Let it be louder and louder. Let it be more powerful to God's glory. They took Jesus' garment away, and they put a small towel. Oh, small thing on Jesus' waist, and crucified him. He bore that shame that his glory shall be revealed to you. Today, may the glory of God be smeared over your life. May it be imputed over your life. May the glory of God settle upon your life and upon the things that you are doing to God's glory. There is glory. There is glory. The time of shame is past. The time of shame is past. Jesus is making a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He had been despised. He had been rejected. He will face some more. But in the meantime, he was celebrating the glory. Can you clap your hands and shout, yeah! Yeah! People like talking. And when something is not happening in your life that they think should have been happening, then they start talking. But God will silence those mouths. Some people will show negative attitude toward you. May those negative attitudes freeze into their lives. Oh, I didn't hear an amen properly. But I declare that a day is coming. when you shall have a party. Whether it's a small party or a big party, a party is still a party. Whether it's a party of pork roasted and hanging from the ceiling, or it is pork, or it is a goat like soup, or it is abobitaji and abulu, whatever it is still a party. But God will give you a party, an honorable party, a party of the highest order, because your day of honor is coming, and now is the day. Your day of coronation is coming, and now is the day. You will walk down the aisle, you will mount the dais, you will wear the crown, you'll be given that chain. May you be blessed, may you be blessed in Jesus' name. Let the clap and the shout be better than before. Oh, keep clapping. Keep clapping. I haven't asked you to stop. I said keep clapping. I said keep clapping. Why don't you shout? Why don't you shout? Why don't you shout? I didn't hear an amen. Why don't you shout? Continue shouting. I say continue shouting. In the name of Jesus Christ. Continue shouting. Can you rise to your feet? Can you rise to your feet? Jesus went to ask for an ass that was not his. It is not everything you buy with money. Favor is your portion today. Where they had the Lord's Supper, Jesus didn't own a house. So that was also a borrowed auditorium. But what you need is favor to receive what you have to receive. Take the favor by the grace of God. God bless you, sir. Oh, Masokata. I see the shame going. This thing of every time you don't have money, this thing you are broke, this thing. No. God is fixing it for you. Once and for all, God is fixing your life, fixing your finances, fixing everything. There are some things you've been praying about. They will no longer be prayer points, but they will be praise points to God's glory. My enemies, rejoice not over me, for when I fall, I will arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light to you. May God be light to you. May God raise you up. May God lift you up. May God restore you better than you were before your fall. May the Lord lift you up and restore you by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I have olive oil? I feel like praying for some people. And I want you to step out if you feel you need a touch. Masondarabakataya. Bia sostaya. You just need a touch. Yesterday we prayed for people in the woods. Madam, I said, please let somebody stand behind. I see the power of God. The years of shame and reproach are over. Amen. We cancel it. We declare you ushered into a new domain of glory and abundance and blessing and restoration and increase and favor. Receive it. Don't be in a hurry to raise people up. Just leave it. Just leave it. Power of God, rest upon you. We cancel the shame and the disgrace I'm the only person permitted not to cover my face, but the rest of you just make sure your nose is covered. We break the chain, the yoke of shame. We reverse and revoke it. We release glory. May the shame be revoked. Ah! May the shame be revoked. May the shame be annulled. May the power of his glory settle upon your life. Receive you the breakthrough. Receive you the anointing now. Lika tuakataya. Libaba suakata. Yamiani selerebekia staya. Yababasia. Likataya. Madam, receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. Hey, I see them power. Let somebody help me. Let somebody help me. Loose. Taka, 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 taka. Hold it very well. Cover her well. Luakataya. Lumama sistaya bra. Yababasaya kataya. Luakata. Limamasu. Limamasu. Let the touch of God restore you. Let the touch of God bring honor and glory. Let the shame depart. Let it leave you. We cancel it. We annul it. We release you into higher glory. Receive grace now. Amen. Through supernatural empowerment. Bless you with the power of God. With the hand and the increase of God. With the favor and restoration of Jehovah. We cancel the shame. We cancel the shame. We revoke the shame. Ash. I see it going. It's going. It's going with speed. Speed. It's going. Devil, you will take your hands off her glory. Go. You will take your hands off her glory. Right now, right now, right now, by the Spirit of Almighty God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of, can you step forward 3 steps? Receive the anointing of God. Receive the power of His grace. Receive victory over shame and divine glory. Come forward. Receive anointing. Lumakata kata kata kata. Whatever the enemy has sought to contend you with in whatever area of your life, today we subdue him. We overpower him. We break the chains of darkness. We release you in Jesus' name. Receive your honor. The honor that is above human honor. The honor that is from above alone. May shame be canceled. May reproach be taken away. May God cover your life. Any documents of yours, as well as any business, enterprise, and your family, may God cover you. We break the curse. We break the hold of Satan. We destroy the yoke. We release you in Jesus' name. We break the curse. We destroy the works of darkness. We release you right now into supernatural glory. We break the curse. We destroy the works of the enemy. We release you into divine glory. May the shame go. Ah. May the shame disappear. May the shame disappear. May the shame disappear. May the glory of God settle upon your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Break the yoke, Lord, and it shall be broken over your handmaiden's life, over your daughter's life. We curse the hand of the devil.